Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, thank you for continuing to give us this time that we may be all together. This time to continue to further understand your word, Lord. Maybe continue to watch over us as we learn your word, Lord, that you grant us with an open heart and open ears, Lord, that we may listen to your word attentively, Lord, that we will apply them to our day-to-day lives, Lord. Pray that though this may be one of the last few sessions before our brother Yvonne goes into service, national service, Lord, we pray that you will continue to watch over us, that we will continue to learn your word independently, Lord, and that we will continue to understand you better, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, let us start off by reading first of all John chapter 7, verses 32 and 44, and then we're going to zoom in to look at the last part of this section. I've decided to end off this section here mainly because I felt that this is actually quite interesting. You know, it talks about the gospel, it talks about truth, it talks about Christ, and also the reaction that we might have when we talk about the gospel itself. So I thought this was a very good place to end us off here. You know, as we go out into the world and preach the gospel, I think one of the greatest encouragement that we will see later on today is the encouragement that the gospel, our understanding of what the gospel does to people drastically affects the way that we treat people around us and the way we approach evangelism and the sharing of the gospel to the people around us. So I think with that said and done, let us read together, first of all, John chapter 7, verses 32 to 44, and we're going to zoom in to look at verses 40 to 44 today. Let's read together. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me, and you will not find me'? And where I am, you cannot come." On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this is said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So let's read together this section of verses again, and we'll zoom in to look at it after that. John chapter 7, verses 40 to 44. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So first of all, as we start off the discussion of this passage here today, we see that this group of people that Jesus approached, well, they are learned Jews. They are understanding. They at least have a slight understanding of what the Messiah would be like, what the Christ would be like. Once again, as I mentioned before, Messiah and Christ refers the same person, refers to Jesus himself. But the Jews themselves do not know. The Jews themselves at this point of time were still questioning, and they themselves were still trying to figure out who it might be. So they started questioning when Jesus had spoken all these things. And because of that, there was a division among the people as they discussed. Now, some of them say, "Oh, this is the Christ." Some of them say that, "Oh, this is the prophet." Now we'll go into detail of the prophet later on, but as we can see in verse 43, it's obvious that they themselves was divided in regards to knowing who Christ is. Now, I think this is one thing that leads us to an understanding that this is how the gospel itself works. Like many medications out there, there will be a side effect. In the same way, the gospel itself does the same thing. different people hearing the gospel will have different reactions. I think as chosen people of God, we will react to it positively. We will come to receive it. We will come to Christ and we will come to worship Him. However, there's also another group of people, the reprobates. If the gospel preached to them, they themselves will not receive it. Just like how this group of Jews, even within the Jews themselves, they have a different opinion of Christ. In fact, we can categorize it as three different opinions in some ways. We'll look at that right now. So first of all, when Jesus has finished speaking all these things, when Jesus has done the miracle, firstly, and when Jesus has went on to explain the miracle, the people are divided. The people started engaging with Christ and what He has presented to them. They themselves discuss among them of who this Christ might be. So who are the people, first of all? Well, as I mentioned before, these are Jews. They might be the Pharisees, they might be the chief priests, they might be the officers who came. But no matter what, we see that this group of people are understanding people. They are Jews, and in the very least sense, they know what is going on. So they started discussing, and then they said this, and some of them said and proposed that this really is the prophet. Now, who is the prophet? What is the understanding of the Jews of the prophet? Now, if you were to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, it says here, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. For your brothers is to him you shall listen. So, a new prophet proposed by Moses, spoke to them by Moses. And this prophet himself would be doing an act beyond the acts of Moses. In fact, beyond the acts of many prophets in the past. The understanding of Jews, or most of the Jews in that day, in fact, until now, the understanding is that this prophet will come before the Messiah, that this prophet himself will prophesy about the Messiah, that this prophet will be the forerunner before the Messiah comes. There will be a truth that is from the prophet that will speak to them. And that is their understanding. Well, we see that they are not technically wrong in saying that this is the prophet. In fact, Christ himself is the greatest prophet. But the understanding is that they themselves misinterpreted who Christ was. And this is the first group of people. They have slight understanding. But even with that understanding, they have mistreated Christ. They do not truly understand Christ. They do not truly understand what they have read. They think they do. They think they understand. But yet, it seems that this understanding leads to a certain confusion of what they believe. They do not come to Christ. They do not believe in Christ. They do not believe in who He claims to be. That this is the prophet. This is not just the prophet, but this is the Christ. But even with that, they do not persuade them to believe or to follow Him. They might have understand Him to be the prophet, at the very least, but yet they were unwilling to give up everything and follow Him. It was a testimony against them that they themselves did not believe. So this is the very first part. You know, they understand Him to be the prophet, and that's it. That's the first group of people. Now, the next group, they said, this is the Christ. Now, this is very interesting. They themselves proclaim this to be the Christ. They are slightly better than the previous group of people who proclaimed Him to just be the prophet. They're slightly better in their understanding, saying that, oh, I understand what Christ, what He has been saying, and I believe this is the Christ. But yet, even with such understanding, this they themselves were unwilling to give up what they have. Also, we do not see in any parts of later on where this group of people left everything and followed Christ. This group of people recognized who He was, but they were unwilling to give up all that they have to follow Him. They have a bit of understanding, but they themselves, even with that understanding, did not go on further to practice their faith. They themselves do not come to faith. They have great understanding, but had no faith. And this is very much so even today. People learn about Christ. People study about Christ. There are religious studies out there about Christianity, about Christ, about the person of Christ. They know. People know. Historians know. Historians agree. But they are willing to believe. I think faith and understanding, though they are greatly linked, but yet there are differences. Faith ultimately saves us, but not knowledge. Knowledge grants us the understanding of faith and grants us the ability to have faith even in that sense. But yet, faith is what saves us. And this was what is missing in this second group of people. They were willing to proclaim who Jesus was. But yet, deep down, they were unwilling to give up all that they have. I think this is the second group of people are prominent in churches or so. You know, we call ourselves Christians, we say that we believe in Christ, but do we truly believe in Christ? Do we truly live out the faith? Do we truly understand who Christ is? And this is something that I want us to go back and think a bit more, rethink about it, something for us to reflect upon it also. And this is the second group of people, those that proclaims of who Christ is. Now, the next group of people are this group that says that questions, you know, with their prejudice and with their understanding, they are buffed up. They themselves buff themselves up with their understanding and their knowledge, thinking that they themselves knows better. And so they started arguing, counteracting to those people in verse 41. Isn't the Christ to come from Galilee? Isn't this Christ that you yourself has proclaimed from Galilee? Now, this is their understanding of it, that they suppose that as Jesus did, because he was educated at Nazareth. In fact, a lot of times we call Jesus Nazarene. And Capernaum was a city, and he chiefly conversed, preached, and brought upon his miracles in these parts of the continent. That Jesus was in Galilee most of the time. In fact, if you guys realize when we were going through the study of Book of John, more often than not, the place of Galilee has been mentioned over and over again. This is like a home base of Jesus. And so with that, they themselves concluded that he was born there and therefore objected that he was there. And he objected that Jesus was the true Messiah. Because of where Jesus has done his work, because of what Jesus has done, they themselves challenged Jesus. They themselves presumed that Jesus was born in Galilee. In fact, so much so they went on to explain, has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? They themselves are very knowledgeable, I would say. They themselves knows the scriptures very well. But yet we see here that even with this knowledge of the Old Testament, with such great understanding, they themselves are not saved. They themselves have missed the point. They themselves have missed this opportunity to understand and to know Christ. Now, first of all, why do they have such an understanding? Well, a few reasons are given. First of all, when we come to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, we see here, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, which is David, which is referring to David, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruits, which means the descendants of David. That there will be one that will rise up from there. In fact, even as we continue on with Micah chapter 5 verse 1, it says here, "Now masters your troops, O daughters of troops, siege is laid against us. With a rod they shall strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel." So that is the understanding right there, that this Messiah would be from Bethlehem, that this great ruler, the descendant of David, would be from Bethlehem. And so very much so. You see, we know this as Christians when we read through our scripture, especially when we read through the genealogy. In Matthew, we see this whole descendants that even though not mentioned in John, as mentioned before, John was written later, it was supposed that people would have known about the genealogy of Christ already. So it was not much, it was not mentioned again later on in this gospel in this gospel itself. But yet, we see that the Jews themselves, with such great understanding, with such great learnings, yes, they understood all these things. Yes, they have the right understanding, in fact. But yet, without believing in Christ, they weren't saved. I think this is the very sad truth we see out there. You know, there are people who like to quote scriptures and like to, you know, use scriptures. And in fact, they themselves might have believed certain parts of scriptures. But yet, they themselves have not come to faith in Christ. You know, I just want to share a very interesting story that just happened to me recently. I was searching on YouTube, you know, just scanning through YouTube and seeing what is going on. Then recently, I came across this YouTube channel. It's very interesting. So basically, what they tried to do was to compare Christianity and Islam. And there was an ill professor of divinity, and they were talking, and he was discussing, you know, to Christians and Muslims worship the same God. His conclusion was yes, because there's so much similarities between the Quran and the Bible, which is true. You know, there are certain similarities between the Quran and the Bible itself. Of course, there are many nuances and many differences. But yet he missed out the point. He missed out a very great difference between the Quran and the Bible. Even in fact, I will go as far as to say that yes, there is a difference between the Jews and the Christians in today's day and age. That they themselves do not believe in Christ. They do not believe that Christ is the Son of God. That they do not believe that Christ is the Word that became flesh. That they do not believe that Christ is God. That they themselves do not believe that Christ died on the cross for us and resurrected on the third day. You see, we can have similar grounds with many religions out there. That we can have similar grounds even with cults out there. But what sets us apart is the understanding of who Christ is and what Christ has come to do for us. What he has come to do on the cross for us sets us apart from this world. It sets us apart from all other understandings of the Bible itself. In fact, even if you were to talk about cults, the Mormons use the Bible. Jehovah Witnesses use a very similar Bible. They did some additions to it, but it is still the Bible in some ways. But they do not believe who Christ is. Do you see how important it is that our faith is rooted in Christ, who he is and what he has done? We can have all others' understanding of the scriptures correct. But if we were to get Christ wrong, our whole understanding of scripture is wrong altogether. We cannot be correct in our understanding without Christ. I think this is really important for us to recognize, young brothers and sisters. Just as how the Jews has misinterpreted what has been spoken about David, we ourselves have understand many parts of scriptures wrongly because of our lack of understanding of who Christ is. I think this is more than important. I have to re-emphasize this over and over again because this is of utmost importance as Christians. Do we get Christ correct? If not, our whole faith will crumble down like dust. So with all this said and done, as they themselves continue to talk out, as the Jews continue to discuss about this issue of what Jesus has said, there was a division among the people over him. Now, this itself actually fulfills what the scripture says. You know, in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. This is something that, you know, often of times Christians don't think about. In fact, Christians fawn at this idea that Christ comes to this world for division. Yes, Christ comes to grant us peace. But more often than not, what we understand of peace is this, that we should live in harmony. I think this is something that I have learned throughout the days recently. That as Christians, yes, harmony should be asked for, but harmony is not what it's not this gospel itself. The gospel itself comes here to divide. the gospel itself divides people. Our understanding of Christ is divided from the rest of the world, that we are the sheep. As we come before Christ, as He shepherds us, as He teaches us, our understanding of the Bible, our understanding of Christ, our understanding of this world is divided from the other people. It's different from the rest of the people. Why? Because this is what Christ has came to do. We will be divided among ourselves about Christ. I think there is no fear in that. I think what we should strive for is for the right understanding of who Christ is, and that is of utmost importance. Now we see here in the past three passages, all of them has a slight understanding of Christ, but they do not have the full understanding of Christ. What we need to do is pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us to a full understanding of who Christ is. It is of utmost importance. I think as we come into the end of this session, and as we come into the time of the Reformation months, in fact, Reformation Day is coming soon, this is exactly what happened. The gospel itself divides. Why are we called Protestant? Well, because we are divided in that sense. We have divided ourselves from the Roman Catholic Church because they have themselves have missed Christ altogether. They themselves are like this group of Jews, proclaiming that this is the Christ, but do not truly believe in the Christ. We have been divided from them. We have been divided from the world, of their understanding of who Christ is. We have been divided from the world that who claims Christ to be a prophet, but not to be Christ. We have been divided from the world who understands who this Messiah will be, but do not truly believe in the Messiah himself. We are divided. I think this is one of the things that I really want to bring up here. I think there is no fear when you preach the gospel. That yes, you are afraid people might reject, people might dislike you. Well, that is the point. And there is a point right there. If they are truly the elects of God, they will come to receive the gospel when you preach it. That they will change because of the gospel that you have preached. The Holy Spirit will work within their heart. I think our duty as men living in this world is to preach and is to be not to be fearful of the division that will come because of the gospel itself. This is my encouragement for all of us here today. Preach the gospel and see in every season, and not to be fearful of what is the outcome, because we know that God is in control and we know that God will work the gospel in His own ways. And lastly, as we come to the last passage, some of them wanted to arrest him. Indeed, this is true. People hate him. People hate the gospel. And people hate us because they hate him. But yet, no one was to lay a hand on him. No one was to lay a hand on him simply because this is within God's sovereign plan. I think as we've seen throughout John chapter 7, John himself gave us this whole image of who God is. This whole sovereignty of God, that everything, every one of us is within His almighty control. And we should be saved. And we should feel safe. And God himself is in control. When the time is not right, He will not allow Christ to be arrested. He will not allow Christ to die. Yes, Christ knows His death is inevitable. Yes, Christ knows that He will die for us on the cross. But yet, with God's sovereignty, this will not occur unless it is the right time. I think this is what we need to recognize also, that the right time is in accordance to God's will. We cannot force it. We can pray for it. But we cannot expect it either. It's the last thing that I want to bring across to us here today. I think often of times we are very afraid, you know, of our families, of our friends, whether they will be safe or not. I'm not saying that rest assured God will one day save them truly and honestly. But I think what I want to bring across here of utmost importance is that God is in control. God is in control not just of times, but of things, of people, of events. I think what I want to say is to rely on God, rest in God. So with that, I'll end us off here. Today's plenty of things for us to go back and think through. I hope that we may continue to read through the Gospel of John. After I come back from my army, I think I will continue on with John chapter 7 verses 45 and onwards. See how far we can go with the book of John. However, I still hope that as you guys are able to set aside this 30 minutes off every night to join this session, I hope that you guys can continue to do so. You know, set 30 minutes off, just read through your scriptures, read through different commentaries, read through your study Bible and whatnot, see what you can get from scriptures, see what God has put in scriptures for us to learn. Pray for the Holy Spirit to illumine you in your hearts, that you may read, understand, and apply the scriptures into your own daily lives. So with that, I'll end us off here today with a prayer. Let me pray for all of us here. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father Lord, that we have this opportunity together, Lord, for the past few months, Lord, for coming together to read through your word, to read through the book of John, Lord, that we have many things that we are to learn from your word, and there are many things in this treasure chest, Lord, that we have not dug up. Lord, that you may grant us your Holy Spirit to continue to illumine us, to help us understand your word, to help us learn from your word, to help us grow in your word, Lord, that we may become better Christians, to help us apply into our own lives also. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity for us together, Lord, to learn. Help us to continue to keep this, to have this discipline, Lord, to sit down in our daily life, to read, continue to learn. That we thank you, Father, also for what Christ has done for us on the cross. That we may be bold in our preaching of the gospel to our friends among us. That we may rely on you, on your sovereignty and your sovereign plan, Lord. That we know that you are in control. Thank you, Father, Lord, for all these things that you have blessed us with thus far. And we continue to look forward, Lord, in our further study of your word. Thank you, Lord, and we pray always in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.